This is Twit.
Well, you remember that small Equifax breach that leaked only 143 million Americans data? Well, actually, later on, it reported actually 148 million. Well, Captain Obvious has blessed us with presence this holiday season in the form of a House Oversight Government Reform Committee staff report that claims, and I quote, "It was entirely preventable." Was it really? Now, do you wonder what data they needed or analyzed to come to this conclusion? Well, good question, because Equifax, in a drive to attain fast growth, acquired companies at the rate that exceeded its ability to securely integrate them. It neglected its IT, resulting in critical vulnerabilities remaining unpatched for 145 days. It did not engage in basic preparation, like breach notification procedure. So essentially what they're saying is greed made them skip things. Now, on the flip side, Equifax responded saying that they didn't have enough time to respond with their take on the breach or what this report concluded. Why isn't this company bankrupt yet with lawsuits? I don't have any idea why not. Well, the report also does call out some points of failure. For one, the credit agency failed to patch a disclosed vulnerability in Apache Struts, a common open source web server, which Homeland Security had issued a warning about months before. Now, the attackers used the vulnerability to pop a web shell on the server weeks later and managed to retain access for more than 2 months. Now, the House panel also found that they were able to pivot through the company's various systems by attaining an unencrypted file of passwords on one server, letting the hackers access more than 48 databases containing unencrypted consumer data from credit data. Now, Equifax did not see the data exfiltration because the device used to monitor the network traffic had been inactive for 19 months due to an expired security certificate. Okay, well, let's take a look at this here. Guys, I want to bring you back in. You know, does this tell us anything else that we don't know? Curtis, what about you?
Well, I think the thing that it does is point out that from executives' point of view, it is cheaper to pay the insurance premiums for cybersecurity incidents than it is to defend against cybersecurity problems. We know that Equifax got a check for eight figures from their insurance company to deal with this. And since there has been no legal repercussion, they know that they've done what for them was the right thing. The only impact to Equifax so far has been in the realm of public relations. And since most of their customers are other companies, they just don't care. So the real question is, what can we do either as government agencies or society to make them care? And for better or for worse, the current political climate is such that the answer is going to be nothing.
Right. So, Kurt, Brian, I actually want to throw it over to you. Like, there are some laws out there that are attempting to make things better, like the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, and, of course, HIPAA. But does this help at all in some of these organizations, especially like Equifax?
I don't think so. I kind of agree with Kurt that there's doesn't seem to be enough ramifications. You know, at first blush, when I saw the GDPR rules for Europe, I go, wow, that's trying to kill an ant with a sledgehammer. And then I really started looking at the recent Marriott breach. And now more details on the Equifax breach. And it's like, okay, maybe that sledgehammer really is necessary because these guys just aren't listening. And, you know, that insurance check that Equifax got, I seriously doubt they plowed that into security. I'll bet you they use that to pad their bottom line. So I'm pretty disgusted with them. And, you know, I wish there is a way for me as a consumer to go and say, I refuse to do business with Equifax, but because it's all mostly business to business, it's like the consumer has no say. So I'm going to give my standard suggestion to our viewers and say, call your Congress critters. Tell them enough is enough. Your public trust is being breached by people like Equifax. And there needs to be some real, honest-to-God ramifications that are going to hurt these idiots enough that they'll actually do something.
Right. What about that? I think, Brian, you brought up a little bit about GDPR. Curtis, would GDPR actually help in this case as well? Because some people don't really understand GDPR. But would this actually help if they were to bring this to the United States?
Well, GDPR potentially could help because GDPR carries within it the potential for some very serious financial penalties for companies that are found to be in breach of privacy regulations. The thing is that so far, we don't know whether regulators will actually apply those heavy penalties. That's one of the reasons that around the world, businesses are watching this Marriott Starwood case so carefully, because it promises to be the first very large breach that falls under the GDPR regimen. It's going to be fascinating to watch it and see if the regulators have any stomach for serious penalties, or if this is yet another case where the potential is there, but we decide that those poor, fragile businesses just can't bear the strain of being held accountable for their actions.
Right. And you bring up a good point, because in fact, there have been here's some interesting facts. There have been some states that have enacted some laws that make it harder, that infuse some penalties on organizations. For instance, Arizona is cracking down with some state laws. The HB 2154, they will now penalize poor cyber hygiene and irresponsible data management while bolstering its protections for consumers and adding notification requirements for data breach victims. They also set a hard data breach notification deadline. They established standards to work with law enforcement. They significantly raised the maximum fine for offending businesses, and they widely expand predictions for Arizona residents. And the new laws also standards among the toughest in the nation. And we do see a lot of other organizations also doing this. Kurt, Brian, I want to throw this over to you. Is it time that maybe just states start taking control of this?
Well, you know, they're scaring the bejesus out of a whole bunch of really big ISPs with their net neutrality laws. Maybe it's time for states to implement something like GDPR for companies operating within their borders and scare the bejesus out of them again. That seems to be the only way to get them to do anything. And so I encourage my legislature, wield that sledgehammer and make these companies accountable.
Right. So that brings in another thing, because the EFF is also kind of pleading with Congress here as well. What are they saying? Well, they're saying, hey, we require opt-in consent to online data gathering. They also want to give users a right to know about data gathering and sharing. They also want to give users right to data portability. And they want to impose requirements on companies for when customer data is breached. And they're requiring businesses that collect personal data directly from consumers to serve as information fiduciaries, similar to the duty of care required of personal certified personal accountants. Now, Curtis, I know that the EFF, they're trying to obviously influence and get Congress to move forward. Is this all that we really need here? Is these things in order to kind of hold organizations accountable for this type of stuff?
Well, the last two things that you mentioned, the way that organizations are felt to be have a fiduciary responsibility if over the data, that has echoes in the language from GDPR. So that's good, but it doesn't really mean anything until there are penalties attached or until there is a mechanism for individual users to bring suit to enforce penalties. I haven't seen any language like that in what the EFF is proposing. Now, as for the first thing, the informed consent and all of that, to be brutally honest, we have that in many instances. It's just buried in two-point type on paragraph 97, subsection E, you know, in the user agreement. So from a legal standpoint, many users are already giving consent for their data to be collected and stored. What we have right now is a situation where in many cases, though, there are so many layers of a partnership with applications, with services, with advertising networks, with service networks, that the companies that are actually storing the data and analyzing it and making use of it and selling it are 5, 6, 10, 15 layers removed from the original permission that was given by the consumer. And I think those layers of relationship need to be peeled away from a regulatory standpoint, and each of those organizations needs to be held responsible if there's going to be any accountability at all.
So, Brian, you brought up – this is an interesting point, because Brian actually put in the notes and brought up an interesting point about the fact that maybe it's time for insurance companies and maybe some local courts to start holding companies accountable. Brian, what do you mean by that?
Well, the insurance companies are paying out for security breaches, even though Equifax was clearly culpable in this and asleep at the wheel. Well, you know that old story about, you know, it's the laws and everybody that determines what insurance fraud is? Maybe there needs to be some sort of law that says, hey, if you've been totally and completely asleep at the wheel, you did some really stupid things, and you caused harm, that the insurance companies should be let off the hook. Right. Sounds nasty, but that's a heck of a sledgehammer too.
Right. I think that makes sense. I think it makes sense. And it also makes sense that, you know, maybe insurance companies start to impose more regulations on these companies as well. So when the data is breached, they're not willing to pay out. They're willing to only pay out if specific requirements are met. And so maybe companies can be hit from that aspect as well. Curtis, I want to ask you, can consumers do anything for themselves here? Can they protect themselves? Can they sue the companies and try to in hopes that they get some monetary response from companies like this to hold them accountable?
Well, to be brutally honest, in a case like this, what you're looking for is going to turn into a class action suit. And at that point, the individual consumer is going to see something that amounts to not very much at all. An individual consumer is unlikely to be able to cause great pain to any of these organizations. So what the consumer needs to do is protect themselves from the consequences. When it comes to the credit card numbers, just depend on the credit card companies to make those good when they are inevitably breached. The biggest thing that consumers can do is use a different password for every site and every service, because we know that criminals are going in, finding the easily hacked services, scooping up the passwords, and then going out and trying them on other services. So use different passwords, probably need to use a password manager, and just wait for the inevitable notice that your account has been breached. And at that point, allow the folks at the credit card companies to do that thing they do to take care of the financial fallout.